You know, our wives, our mothers, are wonderful, aren't they? I don't know what I would have done without my mother and my wife. But I see this little thing right here, and I thought about, you know, maybe this is a subtle way you women have telling us that at times we're full of hot air. And before we speak, we should blow into this thing to see how full we are. I know that's not what it's for. Thank you kindly. Appreciate it. It's so nice. I need to acknowledge Daniel. Man, it's so good to see you here this morning. Visiting Daniel in the hospital a couple of times, I want to tell you, I thought, my, if this man makes it, it's going to be a miracle. But one of the things I did find out about Daniel, he has a great sense of humor. And the one thing I know, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I would try to bring some, you know, in spite of his pain and in the hospital and having to deal with his misery and tubes sticking in his nose and in his throat, I would tell him some little story and would help him laugh to probably break the monotony. But also I want to say I appreciate Daniel in the fact that the Lord has really touched his heart and moved him that he would begin some type of ministry. And we want to pray for him and support him in this ministry. Randy, good to see you this morning also. Happy you're here. Juanita, glad to see you today. And we have some visitors right here on the front. I should have asked who you were the first time. Where are you folks from?
Wagner.
Wagner,
we're about 30 miles east of here.
Okay.
Here in Columbia.
Well, and your names?
Jim and Mary Collins.
Jim and Mary Collins. We're glad that you could be with us this morning. Someone else down this way? Okay, brothers, great. I'm glad that you folks could be with us. I trust that all of you, all our visitors, will enjoy worshiping with us this morning. Also, I would ask, I need some help on Tuesday morning, probably about 10 o'clock, Jerry. Is there a couple or three men would volunteer to meet Jerry and I here at the church at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning? We have a new organ that we're getting. We need to move that in, and we need to move this one out, and we need some help. Would someone volunteer to come and help us? Okay, we have Brother Wickham, Brother Don, and Brother Jackson. Brother Kitchen. That would be wonderful if you men would come. That's Tuesday at 10 o'clock. We're going to be right here. And we want to bring in the new organ. Thank you kindly. Happy to see each one of you this beautiful Sabbath. Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. I want to tell you that we had a wonderful time at camp meeting. Meetings very, very inspirational. And I know that God blessed his people. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God.
I believe it to be the word of the living God.
And I covenant with him that I will spend time studying it each day.
And I covenant with him that I will spend time studying it each day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus.
Heavenly Father, what a thrill is ours that we could assemble for worship this morning. Oh Lord, send us a double portion of your Holy Spirit. May what we say and do, we meet in due season and be a sweet smelling savor as it warps heavenward. Oh Father, lift us into your presence. Be with me this morning as I bring the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. my sermon title this morning, Finding God's Purpose. Finding God's Purpose. Today, the average lifespan of a man or woman is 25,550 days. How many years is that? If you're to live 70, that's the average life of a man or woman today. But I begin with a question. Do you know the purpose for your life? Do you know the purpose for your life? When God wanted to prepare someone for His purpose, He took 40 days. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Now Moses, he was just a little bit different. It took Moses 40 years out there in Egypt. Then it took God 40 years in the wilderness. But it was 40 days on Mount Sinai that transformed Moses' life. Joshua and Caleb were transformed by 40 days in the promised land, the spies. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge. Elijah was transformed when God gave him 40 days of strength from a single meal. The entire city of Nineveh was transformed when God gave the people 40 days to change. Jesus was empowered by 40 days in the wilderness. The disciples were transformed by 40 days with Jesus after His resurrection. And I would like to think that God could change our lives if we were to seriously give Him 40 days and ponder His will for our lives. Amen. At camp meeting, LeClaire Litchfield was our speaker. Now, I had a hard time dealing with Litch the first couple of meetings. Donna said that he had,
ADD.
Adult ADD. Well, he was hyper. He was jumping around and falling on his knees. And he would do all kinds of funny things. And I just took me a little time to get into it. But after he got used to him, I want to tell you, he had a wonderful message each evening for God's people. And one of the things he challenged us to spend 15 days every day reading the book of Philippians, and he said that it would change our lives. Don and I came home, and I suspect everyone at camp meeting went home, accepted that challenge, and began to read the book of Philippians through every day. And he said, read it through. There's some things you may not understand. Don't worry about that. Just read it through. And the next day when you read it through, God is going to add to your understanding and hearts will be changed. Folks, first when I came here, I asked you to do three things for me or for yourselves. Do you remember what they were? Number one, I asked you to what? Pray for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that is the power storehouse of our Creator, and we can plug in to that power. The second thing I asked you to pray for or to consider was that we should have
personal and corporate.
Bless your hearts. You're good. Some of you have remembered. We want, not only should we pray for personal revival, but we want corporate revival. And the third thing I asked you to pray for was that we would have a ministry. That we would have a ministry. You know, I've spent some time with Sister Johnson on Wednesday. We talked about our church, and as personal ministries leader, some of the things that we might do to involve you in not only personal revival, but that you might be involved in ministry. And by God's grace, over the next several weeks, that we spend together. She's going to share from the front, and I'm going to share when we work together, that every one of us could be involved in some type ministry in our church. You know, the search for purpose in life has puzzled people for thousands of years. And that's typically because we begin at the wrong starting point. We start with ourselves. But the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's greater than your family. It is greater than your career. It is greater than your wildest dreams or ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God, because God created you for a purpose. Let me remind you what our text said this morning in Colossians 1:16. It says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him." It is God who directs our lives. It is God who directs the lives of all His creatures. Everyone is in His hands. In Job 12, verse 10, it says, "In His hands is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." Folks, do we have a reason for worship? Do we have a reason to come, and we should have hearts that is filled with gratitude and adoration that goes forth toward our Heavenly Father? Now folks, if you leave this place this morning, or on any particular Sabbath, you leave this place and you say, "Well, I didn't get anything out of the Sabbath or out of the sermon this morning," then that's what you said. You came to church for the wrong reason.
There you go.
You did not come that the pastor should worship you, or should that God should bow down to you, or that God should fill you with something. You came that you might express your adoration, your praise, to the honor and glory of our Creator. You exist only because God wills that you exist. You were created by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never, never make any sense. Contrary to what many popular books, movies, and seminars tell you, you won't discover life's meaning by looking within yourself. You cannot arrive at life's purpose by starting with a focus on yourself. You must begin with God, your Creator. You were made for God, not the other way around. Life is about letting God use you for His purpose, not you using God for your purpose. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. Let me invite you to open your Bibles and read this morning. I'm using the New International Version. There we are. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. This is great counsel. I know that Paul were writing to, you know, the people of his day, but it has a secondary application. It has meaning for us. It's good counsel for us even in these days. Verse 5 says, "Those who live according to the sinful natures have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit of life is peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." You have probably visited our public libraries, or you visited bookstores, and you have seen the number of self-help books. In fact, there's whole aisles that is dedicated to self-help books and magazines. They are put there. Folks, I want to tell you something. It is put there to grease or to pad the pockets of those who have written them. Because in all honesty, they really don't give a flip about what you think or what you do. Now, some of them think what they're offering is good stuff. But have you ever looked at some of the titles, and they are written to help you find purpose for your life? Titles like Consider Your Dreams, Clarify Your Values, Set Some Goals, Figure Out What You Are Good At, Aim High, Go For It, Be Disciplined, Believe You Can Achieve Your Goals, Involve Others, Never Give Up. Of course, these recommendations often lead to great success, but being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose is not all the same. Is not at all the same issue. You could reach all your personal goals and become really successful by the world's standards, but you could still miss the purpose that God created you for by miles. We need to have more than self-help advice. In fact, I don't believe self-help is any help at all. The Bible says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew 16, verses 25 and 26. Folks, life is not about finding a right career, achieving your dreams, or planning your life. It's about focusing on what matters. It is about becoming all that God created you to be. So over the next 5 weeks, I want to help you to discover the purpose for which you were created. You know, when mankind looks at this big subject of life and what's the purpose of it, they come up with two options. First, you can speculate, and this is what most people choose. They conjecture, they guess, they theorize, and some of them even go and do what someone else tells them they should be doing. But the second opinion is revelation. We can turn to what God reveals about our purpose in His Word. You see, God has not left us in the dark to wonder and guess about His purpose for our lives. He has clearly revealed His purpose for us in Holy Scripture. So during the next couple of weeks, we want to explore what is written in the Word. And as I shared with Wilhelmina, some of the things that we might do, I thought about a couple of others, Wilhelmina. You know, last summer, Donna and I had opportunity to go to the Seeds Conference up at Andrews University. And Ron Elverson's son was the speaker, but he shared some of the things that his father was doing. Ron wrote a book. You know Ron Elverson, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, a number of you do. Ron Elverson wrote a book dealing about prayer warriors. And they talked about one of the things that they've started to do was, and folks, every one of us can do something like this. It does not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. It's not a great stretch of your imagination. In fact, it can be twofold. You can get your exercise, but as you get your exercise, walk around the neighborhood. And every one of these homes you pass by, send up a little prayer for those people inside. That's not too hard to do, is it? Now, what some of the folks, after walking by that neighborhood or walking in their neighborhood for several months, they got the courage to go and knock on the door. And when they came, they said, they introduced themselves. They told them who they were. They says, "We're in the neighborhood, and we've been walking by this neighborhood for several months, and we want you to know that we were praying for you, but we've been impressed to ask you, do you have any needs that we might pray for?" And do you know what? These people opened the doors, invited these people in, shared their concerns and their desires, and asked these people to pray for them. Don Snyder talks about Don and Marty Snyder. Don is the president of the North American Division. Don, I want to tell you that Don Snyder, there's nobody loves Jesus any more than Don Snyder loves Jesus. Don was talking about when they moved to the General Conference. They live up there in Maryland, and in a subdivision, actually in a cul-de-sac. There's about 15 or 20 houses in that cul-de-sac. The first couple of years they lived in that cul-de-sac, they didn't know anybody. They didn't see anybody. They see that the cars would come home, the doors would go up, these big double doors. The car would go in to shut off, the doors would go down, and that's the last that they would see of people. They would see people coming with their trucks and trailers, and they would mow their grass, they would wash their windows, and they would do all these things. But he was impressed to do what Ron Elverson had suggested, that they would begin a prayer ministry and begin to pray for these people. And when him and Marty took the opportunity to go out and walk, they began to pray for these people. And when they saw people on their lawns, they would go and talk with them and introduce themselves to them. Well, they got they made themselves known in the community, and they began to have on Sunday afternoons, they would have a party. They would invite all their neighbors to come, and they introduced them to a vegetarian lifestyle. When people got sick in the neighborhood, who did you think they called? They called Don Snyder. When they were in a hospital, they would call Don Snyder. When the children had a sniffle, they would call Don and Marty and ask them to pray for them. And when they died in that little community there, they asked Don Snyder, our Seventh-day Adventist president, to come and have the funeral. In fact, over the first couple of years, they didn't know these people. But in the last few years, these people have come to love Don and Marty so much that they could go away for a week on work for the General Conference to come back, and they were thinking there's going to be 3 feet of snow in the driveway. But before they get back, for some reason or other, these people know that they're away, and they come and clean their driveways, and they can just drive right into their garage. They don't have to get out and shovel snow. That's what witnessing, that's what being like Jesus is all about.
Yeah.
Folks, somehow we want the Holy Spirit to touch our heart. We want revival, personal revival. We want corporate revival. But it can only take place as we allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and we begin to work on His behalf. It's not a difficult thing. There's nobody has to know anything about it. You can walk by that house and you can say, Lord, I don't know these people, but I'm asking a blessing for them today. We can do something like that, can't we?
Yeah.
Folks, I long for the day to come to church and you say, Pastor, let me tell you what happened this week. You know, let me tell you what happened this week. Where's Grant and Jean today? Oh, somebody call Grant and Jean. Tell them we missed them. But a couple of weeks ago, Grant went by a tire store and he was soliciting funds for his Christian Record Braille. And he says, Pastor, you get an opportunity. This fellow seems like he's really receptive to the message. Go by and visit with him. This week, I took the opportunity. I went in and I met Brother Webb. He was there studying his Bible. An opportunity to talk to him a little bit about his faith, and he began to ask questions about Seventh-day Adventists, where the church is. And well, I had opportunity to invite him to church, and he said he would come. And I'm going to take him some Bible studies. In fact, I came and got the Bible studies from Wilhelmina to take to them.
Amen.
To take to him. But lo and behold, yesterday evening, we were shopping. We went by Walmart and got our weekly groceries and water. And on the way home, I was loading the stuff into the trailer. And this SUV just wheeled into the parking lot. And the lady was crying. She was tears running down her face. She says, you're a pastor, aren't you? And I says, yes. What can I do for you? She says, 6 days ago, we had a crisis. And I needed someone to pray for me. I needed someone to come and talk with me. And I called my pastor. And he says he hadn't even returned my call. And she began to tell what was happening. How she was raped and abused by her father and her uncle. And they are, and folks, It happens in the Adventist church too. But they were raped by, the pastor. She was raped by her pastor, uncle, raped by her father. Now, these things happen in Adventism. Not a lot, but it happens. But this lady unburdened her soul. She says her husband, well, he's not her husband. She's had three husbands. They were all abusive. She shared how she would go looking for love. She wanted love, and she would go out, and the more she would do for these men, the more that they would abuse her. But she found a soulmate, and they've been living together, I think it's for 8 years. Not married. Afraid to get married because of the bad experience. But I says, that's not Christ's way. God loves you with an everlasting love. He can forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It has nothing to do with our emotions.
Amen.
It has to do with what God says. Do you believe it? And I shared a little about me coming and accepting Jesus Christ, invited her to accept Christ as her personal Savior. She said she has done that, but she says it's not done anything for me. She talked about her husband has been 2 years out of work. He got hurt on the job, and because it's in a lawsuit, they can't go and get SSI. She's lost her job, worked at McDonald's, no education. We were able to invite them to come to our house for dinner with us today. So by God's grace, you pray for that lady with me, and that she will. I gave her the studies that I had for Brother Webb, so I got to get some more Wilhelmina to take to Brother Webb. But I want to tell you, there are people out there in our own neighborhoods who are searching. Their hearts are hurting. They want to know Jesus. They want peace. Folks, you can witness to these people in your community. Amen. Walk by and pray for them. Oh, like the automobile that has an owner's manual in the glove box that tells us all about that car, how we should take care of it. We take care of our automobiles better than we take care of ourselves. The Holy Bible is our owner's manual. It explains why we are alive, how life works, what to avoid, and what to expect in the future. It explains their heart what no self-help guru or book can give you. Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians. Open your Bibles. It's good that we read together. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 7. It says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. This is Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in the 4th verse. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of what? The Holy Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of the age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for the glory, for our glory before time began. You see, God is not just the starting point of your life, He is the source of it. Amen. Come on, listen a little louder. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He is the source of it. To discover your purpose in life, you must turn not to the world, but to God. You must build your life on God's eternal truth, not on pop psychology and inspirational stories. Ephesians chapter 1. Go there with me. Oh, this is some good stuff. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14.
In Him,
we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you guys missed this. I can't go by. You missed it. Let me read it again. Starting in the 11th verse. In Him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also, that's me, that's you now we're talking about. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a what? A seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to Him praise and glory. These verses gives us four insights into our purpose. The first insight in these texts, we will discover our identity and purpose through a relationship with our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Lord and Savior. Now, when you look at this, it should jump out at me, and it should fill you with awe and inspiration and give God all the praise and glory. Listen to this, the second thing. God was thinking about you long before you ever thought about Him. His purpose for your life predates your birth. God planned you before you ever existed in the womb. He planned you without your input. You may choose your career, you may choose your spouse, you may have hobbies and many other parts in life, but you do not get to choose your purpose. God did that before you were created. Number three, the purpose of your life fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has designed for us. It includes eternity. Now, I don't know how many of you have pondered the subject of eternity, but I want to tell you, eternity is a long, long time. In a moment, Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye we shall be changed. This corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. We will live forever. In fact, when God created us, He created us never to die. He created us to live forever. But sin separates us from God. Oh, sin is horrible. Number four, because we exercise our faith, because we believe, we have been marked with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you something. How many of you have experienced the Holy Spirit in your lives? Looks like every one of you. We have been marked. We have been sealed because of the promised Holy Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have been sealed for eternity. Now that's good news, isn't it? That should make our hearts glad. That should fill us with gratitude and adoration as we sit before the Creator of the universe this morning. There should be vibes of gratitude ascending heavenward. Not only is the Holy Spirit a seal, He becomes the deposit, a guarantee for our inheritance of eternal life. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Yeah. Folks, every time as we journey down the highway of life, we have to make decisions. And there's one voice that speaks to us, say, go this way. But then there's another voice, and you've got to learn to distinguish between the two. In fact, you understand that the devil has a counterfeit, and the counterfeit is so close to the truth that you will be deceived. And you'll never understand, you'll never distinguish between the two voices unless you spend time in God's Word. He is not going to speak, the true voice is not going to speak contrary to what is written therein. And when that other voice speaks to you, this is the way, walk ye therein, it is always going to be in harmony with God's Word. You should have no problem distinguishing which is the Holy Spirit or which you should obey. Now, the text is saying that the Holy Spirit becomes a deposit, a guarantee of our inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, if you had experience going and buying a new automobile or buying a new home. When you sign that contract, when you put out your hard-earned dollars and you lay it down there as a guarantee that you're going to buy this home and that you're going to pay for it or this automobile, do you just walk out of the dealership or walk out of the real estate office and forget all about it? No way. You have put your hard-earned sweat into this to earn this money. And you're just not going to let it get away from you. The Holy Spirit, He becomes a guarantee. He is a deposit on our inheritance of eternal life. What a God we serve. I close this morning by sharing with you a poem by Russell Kefler. You are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman and man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistakes. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what He wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones He chose. And no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master seal. No, the trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept with that hurt, and God wept that had hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into His likeness you grow. You are who you are for a reason. You have been formed by the Master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. Amen. May His blessings rest upon each one of you this week. I've asked our deacons to hand you out a paper. Actually, it's the first week. I'm going to give you 5 pieces of paper. Over the next 5 weeks, I want you to think about your purpose. Points to ponder is not about me. it's about God. And then I put our opening text this morning from Colossians. And then I want you to begin to consider and ponder these things. I want you to ponder ministry. Folks, we want personal and corporate revival, don't we? Let us, by God's grace, get involved with loving Jesus with all our hearts and witnessing for Him to His honor and glory. Okay, deacons, if you would give these things out, we're going to close now with hymn number 251. 251. He lives. We invite you to stand.
Life's name.